NBA free agency started at 6 o'clock last night. There were 15 moves in the first 3 minutes. Then there's been four dozen in the 23 hours since. It's amazing because GMs, agents, teams, players, they never talk before 6 o'clock.
Nope.
That's exactly what happened. Also, the latest on the Big 12, Pac 12 merger. Let's go.
And that's the comment.
USA 95, Spain 81. Final score, a bit different than the game played out. USA was down 10 in the second quarter. Ricky Rubio was on fire, but to stabilize, it helps to have a Durant. Here's what he said after the game. Guys are starting to understand their roles, just getting comfortable with the team. In this setting, it's always hard to get your footing as an individual player. You don't want to step on toes. And here, look, I have the most toe-steppingest panel possible. Habitual toe-steppers. Kalish, I'll start with you. Is Team USA finally where they need to be?
You don't want to step on toes, you don't want to step on three-point lines. But I do think they are close to where they need to be. Now, it's going to be a battle. I mean, Australia just beat Argentina by 38. Luka's got Slovenia playing great. France is really good. But when you're the best three-point shooting team, and they are that, and when you have Durant and Lillard and Tatum and Booker and all the rest, and they're going to hit some shots eventually, you're going to have some slow parts like they did in the first half when they were 4 for 17 on threes, and then they're 60% in the second half. It's really just a three-point shooting contest. They're not great inside. They don't do a lot of anything else.
Okay, thank you for this very optimistic view. I asked the question, are they where they need to be? Your answer is...
they will win gold because of the three-pointer, yes.
Linton Yates, is Team USA where they need to be?
Yes, where they need to be is in the tuna melts, and after last night's performance, it's a good thing they're still there, all right? One of the things that KD talked about is the fact that they're getting more comfortable. That's not just with each other. That's with the FIBA style of play. You saw some adjustments that they made that did not look like the typical NBA stuff, so that alone was impressive, but they're still very beatable, all right? Everybody else left in this tournament either has or probably can't beat them, and I don't think that they're out of the woods yet whatsoever, save one KD good performance.
It's nice to get comfortable just as you get into the semifinals of the tournament, Frank. Is Team USA where they need to be?
Yeah, they are. They're in the semifinals. They were the heavy favorite coming in. They're still the favorite. It's amazing. 9 days ago, we were ready to revamp everything after they lost to France. Mm-hmm. The selection process, let's hire a full-time coach. Let's wear purple for our uniform instead of red, white, and blue. And now look where we are. We're the best team. But to Clinton's point, France beat us, Australia beat us in Las Vegas, and Luka Doncic for Slovenia. That's who I want to see in the finals because you have Kevin Durant and Luka, the two best players in this tournament, possibly going head-to-head. I think we'll get by Australia. That gold medal game will be tough.
We. I heard a we in there from Mr. Frank Isola.
I'm from the United States.
Sarah, Spain.
Unless Italy.
It was USA over Spain. How do you feel about that? And is this team where they need to be?
Well, I'd like to think our level of discourse is a little higher than they're where they need to be because they're still in it. This is the U.S. basketball team. They're not where they need to be getting by an old Spain team on the basis of finally figuring out how to shoot from beyond the arc again. Exactly what Tim said is why they are not yet where they need to be. We know how they can be beaten. They can be beaten inside, and if they get cold from the outside. Spain is way past its prime. Look at Australia. They've beaten them the last two times they've met, and even with Aaron Baines out because of that really strange bathroom incident that messed up his neck, they're still a really good team. I'm not saying they're not the favorites. I'm saying I expect a bit more from them in a showing against a team that's past its prime than what we saw in order for me to feel confident against teams
everyone
like Australia
wants back
and Slovenia.
Dallas, I'll show you.
Well, it's just a little concerning that they did give up 38 to Ricky Rubio. Maybe they need to play a little better defense
against
Luka and everybody else.
Isola?
Well, Sarah, you saw what happened to the U.S. women. They were also expected to win. They lost to a team that they always beat. And here's the thing with tournament play. It's such a short window. You're playing games every other day, twice in 5 days. It's tough, and it catches up to you. I think they found their footing. I think getting those three players that were in the NBA Finals certainly helped a lot. Drew Holiday's been outstanding.
I think you're speaking about the U.S. women's soccer team, right? They're losing again because the U.S. women's basketball team it hasn't lost in group play or where they are right now. Spain, you better watch out by saying Spain is past its prime on TV. That might be made into a meme
well aware.
At some point.
Listen, I get reminded regularly.
You're doing fine right here. Simone Biles, next story. And she was on the balance beam. did a move she hadn't done in 12 years, which means when she was 12 years old, and she nailed it. In dismount, she finished with a double pike instead of a full twisting double back. She said, "It just meant the world to be back out there, and I wasn't expecting to walk away with the medal. I was just going out there doing this for me." Frank Isola, how do you consider this bronze medal bile performance?
Well, first of all, anytime you win any medal, it's a big deal at the Olympics. And, you know, there are other people out there competing as well. So that's a great thing. I think it's a good conclusion to what has been a very unique and also confusing story in a lot of ways. You think about all the Olympics that we've watched and covered over the years. We've learned what twisties was. I've never heard that before. Plus, for the U.S., when we've had kind of these faces of the Olympics going in, whether it was Michael Phelps, Marion Jones, Katie Ledecky, Allyson Felix, Michael Johnson, you never heard, you know, they never skipped competition for whatever the reason may be. So this was something very unique. My only thing would be, after she didn't compete, I was wondering if U.S. Gymnastics, the Federation, would have said, you know what, it's your last event. You've been talking about mental health and where you are. Maybe not compete here. I give her credit for doing it. I was just surprised. I thought maybe somebody would say, you know what, after everything you've been through, maybe sit this one out as well.
Sarah Spain.
Yeah, the biggest difference here is what she told us from the very beginning. What she was suffering from is very specific to gymnastics, the twisties, where your mind and your body can't get together and figure out how many times you've turned. So Tony mentioned it. She did a double pike dismount because there's no twists involved. She was able to compete on the beam specifically because, unlike every other apparatus, there is no element of that event that requires her to do twists and be able to keep control of how many rotations she's done. I'm so glad she came back to compete. This woman has 7 Olympic medals, 24 world championships, 4 elements named after her in the sport. And she wanted to finish this out on a note that wouldn't leave her haunted for the years to follow, whether or not she goes to Paris. I'm really impressed by it. And we had a lot of good conversations, not just about mental health and how it can come and go and how it can manifest itself, but also about a sport that we get this tiny snapshot of every 4 years and only see the greatest and best performances and never the work behind it, the danger behind it. Now we know that going forward. And I think it's going to make us a lot more empathetic and understanding of all the athletes competing in these events that we just don't know that
well. Yes, you say that, and Frank said that as well, right? It was like an education this week on both mental health, which we all needed, and gymnastics, which was we all needed as well. Tim Kalisha, how do you see your bronze medal?
Well, I mean, look, as host of this show, you've been very diligent about telling people that mental health is health, and she just told a worldwide stage that, you know, if she had had her knee wrapped up and she was missing events, because that everybody would have understood it and she would have been a sympathetic figure. Instead, it was a mental health issue, absolutely just as serious when you're up in the air twisting around and flying around. And if you can't get that together, you can't be up there. That is the perfect bit of humanity to put on herself, to put on all these gymnasts and all these Olympic athletes.
Clinton Yates.
I thought it was very instructive, and I thought it was very motivational. You can draw a direct line, in my opinion, from Naomi Osaka saying, "I'm not dealing with this at the French Open," to her being able to come out and say straight up, "This is not good for me, and therefore is not good for my team." What was most admirable about this, in my opinion, was the number of other people around the gymnastics world that came out and told their stories immediately. I think of Michaela Maroney, and I think of all these other people who felt empowered enough to speak up about it because Simone, the greatest of all time, decided to say something. She didn't just walk away and say, "Leave me alone." She supported her teammates. You saw that on social media. You saw that watching the broadcast. Incredible, incredible job of teammate, just support and being
support
a leader.
And an encouragement. Yeah, Sarah Spain, you want to add one thing?
Yeah, just one thing that was really cool about this was because Simone pulled herself out of some of those other events, every single woman on that team got a medal in one of those events that maybe they weren't even supposed to do. They stepped up in the moment, and that's really cool to see.
One more story here that was really cool to see. The face one makes when breaking the world record. Did you see this? Carsten Warholm of Norway said he ran the perfect race. He just set the record, the previous record, last month. But before that, this record in the 400-meter hurdles hadn't been touched in 29 years, and he shaved off nearly a second of it last night. American Rod Benjamin finished second. He also broke the previous world record. Clinton, could this have been the perfect race?
It was for me, and it was the best moment of the Olympiad so far. Everything about it, from the hype up in the competition, to how the telecast even went, to how the actual competition went, to the reaction of the athletes after the race. They were composed, and they figured out what they needed to be doing. I have never seen whatever this notion is of the height of sport competition come together between two guys in that specific way so well and still get a record broken. There's people that were running that daggone race without hurdles that couldn't have done it that fast who were at the Olympics. A1.
For a guy solo.
Yeah, it's so true. The world record in the 400 is 43 seconds. So think about how fast they're running. Plus, they're jumping over hurdles. This happens at the Olympics all the time. Sometimes the best stories are the ones you least expect. Watching the 17-year-old from Alaska win the race that she was in the pool was unbelievable. They only have one 50-meter pool in the entire state. But to watch that, two guys right until the end, and both of them to finish like that, what an amazing
Darryl
race
Spain. That was.
Yeah, unbelievable. Neither of these guys was born when the previous world record was set. They both beat it in this race. And I've never seen a track athlete rip open their shirt at the end of a competition. I've seen a lot of happy track athletes, but that was a brand new sort of Hulk smash vibe here. And I'm equally as excited for Dalila and Sydney in this same event on the women's side. We could be ready for another moment just like that of multiple people breaking the world record in one race. Just awesome to watch.
Dalila Muhammad and Sydney McLaughlin, you're talking about it. I mean, they have been battling each other for years now with this world record. That's gonna be must-see TV. Tim Kalishaw on the perfect race.
Yeah. These world records are what we hope for, what we live for in the Olympics. These two young men who shattered, as you said, the world record that was just set a month ago, and until then had stood for 29 years. They're 24 and 25 years old. Edwin Moses dominated this sport till he was 32. They have at least one more Olympics ahead of them and many, many world championship races to go at each other.
You know, this is what I always say. In team sports, you know you gotta beat your opponent. You gotta beat your opponent. In so many track and field sports, we saw this in the high jump where it was elected shared goals. You're competing against the clock. You're competing against the bar, not against the human. You set your personal best record or your personal mark, and you have to walk away feeling just amazing. Another amazing moment, I think Mo's gorgeous run in the women's 800 meters. To celebrate this American, 19 years old, who's gone from dominating at Texas A&M to gold here, but also to know this was an imperfect race because of the exclusionary tactics from the World Athletics around testosterone and the narrow middle distance drops athletes like Caster Semenya and others from competing. Shame we didn't get to see it all. Shame Semenya has to defend her womanhood and not her world record. Back with NBA free agency and buy or sell.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, coming to you from the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17.
Joel Embiid versus Andre Drummond, and Andre Drummond versus Joel Embiid has been one of the great head-to-head mind game battles in the NBA. And now the showstopper from NBA free agency, Drummond to the Sixers. So there is that, and then there's this showstopper, the Lakers signing Carmelo Anthony. Woo! Davis, LeBron, Westbrook, Anthony. There was that. There was Chris Paul back in town. Mike Conley again. Lonzo Ball. A lot to get to here. Oh, anyone want to Google where Evan Fournier is right now? The Knicks. Clinton, what are you buying?
I don't know about the single most impactful move, but the Los Angeles Lakers have had the most impactful 7 days in this league between picking up Russ and between the guys that they've let go and trying to figure out whether or not this is going to be the last hurrah for LeBron James, bringing all the old band back together to town. I mean, Dwight Howard's coming back, all sorts of people that you were like, oh, right, they're still around. Yeah, okay,
but Alex
LeBron
Caruso's not coming back, and
go.
Patty Mills.
I know,
goes to
and I'm upset about that. Yeah. I wanted Caruso back here. That dude can play, and LeBron likes him, which is a big part
would
of being successful on
Caruso
that team.
Leaving LeBron. I mean, that, good for him. Look, the onion's on him. Kalish, how about you?
You know, I don't think there's a single team that's gone from here to here. And you say, wow, look what they just did. It's mostly Phoenix did what they had to do with Paul. Utah did what they had to do with Conley. I don't know that Lowry over Dragic is a big deal. I actually like Lonzo Ball to the Bulls. He's become a 38% three-point shooter. If he can stay healthy, I think the Bulls are doing something at least interesting.
How come you said actually before that? You can just like Lonzo Ball to the Bulls. It doesn't have to be an actually.
Actually.
Sarah Spade in Chicago, please.
Well, the actually is probably because even though they've added him, they might still just be adding it to go for the sixth spot in the East, right? We still don't know exactly what the Bulls can look like, even with Lonzo. Maybe DeMar DeRozan, I'd be interested if that addition happens. I think it's Lowry in the Heat because it's not just Lowry. It's Lowry, it's P.J. Tucker, it's Duncan Robinson getting the most money ever for an undrafted player. It's Jimmy Butler getting the cash. So this is a team, and when you know that Pat Riley says we're going all in, you should probably pay attention.
You mentioned DeMar DeRozan. He's meeting with the Clippers today. Frank Isola, bring you in here on the most impactful move in the NBA free agency first day.
The Lakers and the Heat both lost in the first round. You knew there would be a big response by the guys that drive the buses of those respective franchises, Pat Riley and LeBron James. Both teams significantly improved themselves. But I'll tell you what, the Brooklyn Nets, they're still the best team. They brought back Blake Griffin, and Patty Mills is going to help. He can knock down shots. He's been in championship situations before. That's a really solid
move. Still the best team, he says. The people in Milwaukee might be hitting you up on the hashtag there, Frank Isola. All right, we'll move on. Could the Big 12 and Pac 12 merge? The urge to merge, or at least in some way buddy up here with the impending doom of the Big 12 if Oklahoma and Texas leaving becomes a reality. Max Olson, the first to report this, that the two commissioners were meeting today for The Athletic. I don't know what you want to call it, Tim, but buy or sell the Big Pac 24 Super PAC?
I'm going to buy it. The Pac-12 has been talking for years about getting some earlier starting times on college football. Welcome to Morgantown, West Virginia. You can have some earlier starting times there. That's going to be some difficult travel. But for the Pac-12, it might be good. For the Big 12, it's about saving anything they've got left.
We haven't seen anything like this, though, before, right, Tim? With all the conference realignment of the last 10 and 15 years, it's never been too huge coming together. Would it work? Could it work, Tim?
20 teams. I don't know how in the world you make that work in football. You're never going to play everybody, obviously. But, you know, I think they might pare it down a little and find some way to merge.
Sarah Spain?
Yeah, the Big 12 estimated Texas and Oklahoma leaving might cut into their TV rights deal by 50% or more. So they need this. They both need this, really. But the complications are the travel and other things that need to be figured out. And to your point, the number of teams. You called it the Big Pac 24. Yeah. There aren't 24 teams. So might I recommend they not put a location or a number in the new name, since those are never correct anymore. As I heard someone say, and I think we should go with the Biggie Pac Conference. That's what we should go with.
Yes, of course. Frank Isola.
Now, when you hear about this kind of stuff, it takes the student right out of student athlete. I get it. For football, you can pull it off because you're only playing once a week, even though the travel can be insane. But you mentioned West Virginia. We're going to send the UCLA women's soccer team over to Morgantown to play them in West Virginia? Come on. You can only do it for football. The other sports.
But for football, like Tim said, I mean, if you have 20 teams, you're not playing everybody in a season.
Nope.
I mean, Clinton, you have any ideas? Can this work, the Big 12 and Pac-12 coming together?
No, there's one simple word for this. It is unseemly. It is simply too big and too disorganized for everybody to be able to pull this off. It's already college football where they can barely get anything together from a week-to-week standpoint. But shout out to that state senator who said to the Texas administration, would you rather your fan base look at you lose to TCU or Alabama? It's the same difference for a lot of these schools, man. You're not going anywhere. We'd love to see it.
Sarah Spain, you regret saying Spain is past its prime on today's program? Do you regret that?
Stand by everything. Stand by everything. Old people can dream too.
That's it for Spain.
He then said we about the U.S. We.
Yates, Kalishaw, showdown, 2 minutes.
Here we go. Here we go.
The Around the Horn Showdown, a rare and complicated species.
Here on Animal Planet, the cat versus the Yankees grounds crew. Credit to the cat or blame to the crew? That's the question. Clinton Yates, clean tone, first to you.
All the credit to the cat. Young players, listen to me. Gets a good lead, looks for the pitcher to break, and then hits the base pass on the way to the bag. Tremendous base running out of that cat. We like his movability on the infield and on the grass as well.
Timmy?
I'm going to give credit to the crew, not blame to the crew. They didn't harm the cat in any way. That's not part of their job, to be out there working for animal control. All we ever know about the grounds crew is when they're slow getting the tarp out. They make the news for that. These guys work hard. They did a nice job ushering the cat to the side.
They still haven't found the cat in the stadium. They still haven't. And the Orioles had seen him in their clubhouse earlier. I'm giving a point to each right here. I do love a good grounds crew. Last time we saw a cat in This Week in Baseball, he was biting the grounds crew member. See, none of that happened.
Oh, that's, yeah.
Yeah.
You don't want that.
Still on Animal Planet, the Mantis versus Victor Robles. This happened. Credit to Mantis or credit to the stillness of Robles, who has a great one here when he's calling out the outs and looks at the Mantis. Go ahead, Timmy. One.
This is all for, I'm going one. With Robles. Not much has gone one. Right for the Nationals, really, since they won the World Series that they never got to celebrate. And here he is being very, he knows it's there. He signals the outs. He tells him there's one out.
I'm definitely going with Robles because anytime you get entangled with a praying mantis, you know losing your head could possibly be part of the equation. So good work out of him for not happening that time.
That's why they call him Clean Tone. Clinton Yates, 30 seconds of FaceTime.
So last week, a player got traded to the Dodgers. His name is Danny Duffy. He was drafted by the Royals in 2007 and on his way out of town, literally the day he left the clubhouse, he ran into a guy that was suffering from heat stroke. Him and another Good Samaritan that were on the street figured things out. They got things in coordination. The guy who was suffering from the heat stroke ended up recognizing the player as one of his favorite guys. They took a picture. They put it online. And so we got out of town on a good one. Welcome to Los Angeles, good buddy. We're going to be
good
glad
job,
to
see you. Tim Catlett Show, real quick, give a shout out. Sporting Goods.
28 guys going to the Hall of Fame. Drew Pearson's one of them. I worked with him at a Sporting Goods store.
Yeah.